major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, I'm talking about Alabama. I mean, yeah. This show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, we're in 3:30 on Turbo Thursday. You know what that means. It's time for a little segment that we like to call Butters and Lee. Give me some whoop-whoops on that. All right, good deal. All right, so calling the roll right now, coming in on the clean feed connection, my man Butters, are you there?
I am here, right out of Bushy-tailed.
You are indeed present. Thank you. And then dialing in, I believe, from the northern reaches of the listening area, Lee from Huntsville, are you there?
I am. I'm adjusting the antenna on my bag phone. I have
one. You stand on
one
foot.
That's right. You got to stand on one foot. You got to hold the phone up in the air, and then you got to like wrap tinfoil around your head when you do.
I had one of those. I honestly wish I had saved it.
You had a bag phone, the whole bag phone?
I did. I was in sales in the 90s.
See, that's exactly right. We had a friend who was in sales in the 90s, and she had the bag phone. And I remember being rather impressed with it and also thinking, it sucker weighs like 12 pounds. But
and you couldn't hardly call anyone because it was $1 million.
No. No. And it was a piece of company property, too. You signed that thing out. You signed it back in, didn't you?
Exactly.
Yes. All right. Hey, listen, we're gonna jump on in to some Butters and Lee segments right now. And for all y'all listening out there, you know the deal. I ask them questions because they have great opinions, and then we flip the script and they just ask me questions. So, all right, let's look down to the southern reaches of our most beautiful state. I mean, how many states in the world can say they have beautiful mountains and rivers in the north, fertile plains followed by white sandy beaches on Gulf Coast? And one of those beautiful cities down on the bay is the city of Fairhope. I love Fairhope. Fairhope is in a pickle right now. Fairhope is actually renting out its city-owned venue to a gay rights group for a family-friendly drag event. I'm just telling you what the news is. Gay rights group renting a public facility for a family-friendly drag event. So it's not on private property. Does that change the dynamic, in your opinion? I mean, do locals have a right to question it since their taxpayer dollars are doing this? I'll start with you, Lee from Huntsville.
Well, of course, you always have the right to question anything done on public property as your taxpayers pay the bill. But I'd like to remind everyone, had the legislature done anything this time, I know you say they got things done, but I personally don't think they got a lot done. They passed, 30 bills in 3 months? Yippee. 385, House Bill 385. Had that gone on, had they been able to vote on it, but they got all tied up with this gambling stuff, and then everybody got angry about it. So, had we had that, that would have outlawed drag performances. So if they're willing to have a stripper show, a family-friendly one, maybe there's something tasseled, covering up the lady's top part. If they're willing to do that, on public property, what are you going to do?
I don't know. I mean, I'll tell you what, before I start jumping in with my own thoughts on it. All right, Butters, your thoughts. It's a public facility paid for with taxpayer dollars. Can something be said about a family-friendly drag show?
Well, you know how I feel about local politics and people getting involved. So, it's a good drum to beat. To say, well, yeah, of course. But it's also, of course, okay if the current, the current rules allow for someone to come and put that on. That's hopefully there's civil discourse about that. But, if you're not happy about it, then go figure out how go elect people that will fix it for you. And that's a great example of a local community. Make it the way you want it to be. I don't know. Think about that as you're voting for your city councils, and because those are the guys that are setting these kind of scenarios up. So, but yeah, absolutely. If you don't like it, talk about it.
I'd say absolutely you talk about it. I mean, and not because of this topic. I mean, it could be something else. They could, what else would I disagree with? I mean, let's say They wanted to host a marijuana convention. I think we'd have something to say if they wanted to, you know, they have a, I don't know, porn festival. I don't, any one of these things that you can find that would be somewhat offensive to a large swath of the local taxpayers. I think they would absolutely have a right to say something about it. Now, the interesting dynamic is these folks are going to wind up being to some degree protected by law, unless they're doing something that would be considered lewd, lascivious, or in any way, you know, abusive to children under current law. That's where we're going to get into it. And I think what they're looking at here too in Fairhope is there's a blurring of the lines and a basically a watering down of the standards to the extent that they don't, that the locals don't trust it. They don't trust that it'll be okay. They can say all they want to, but they don't trust the nature of what this is. And so I think this is going to wind up being a discourse that you're going to see in communities all over the nation. And this one happens to be in Red State, Alabama.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that?
I can't reiterate enough. I think now is the time that you need to take a look at what's going on in your community. You know, maybe take 5 minutes out of focusing on who's running for president and learn who's on your city councils and what their stances are and all this kind of stuff. Cause I think that's about to get real important.
Oh yeah. I mean, like extra layers of important. In fact, I wrote a piece, this has been several years ago, and I talked about the fact that state and local has the opportunity to be a firewall against all the stuff you see coming out of DC. And it does. And they can. They can also be the thing that lets it all in. So Lee, you're mighty quiet. What else you got? Anything?
I just think they slap family friendly on something and pretend it's A-okay. But a man dancing dressed as a woman in front of children is never okay. I don't care what the excuse is. It's not okay. And I think that you say that the local can keep out the national. Yes, but the local is afraid of expensive lawsuits.
That's true.
And being labeled as something phobic. And so, yeah, have that porn, family-friendly porn show, mind you, family-friendly. It's just stupid. All of this is ridiculous. It's as if we have lost our mind and we don't understand basic common sense anymore.
Here's the other thing that you could do. I saw recently somebody had an issue with a concert, and they just went and bought up all the tickets. And it was they thought it was sold out, but nobody showed up. I would be a bit surprised if you didn't find that there are people who don't agree with a family-friendly drag show who decide to show up at the event. And we'll see how that goes. Will they be welcomed? Because here's the thing. If we have to let you in, then you also have to let us in. We'll see where that goes. All right. Next question before I run out of time. All right. Let's get lively with this. You ready? This just happened. I mean, like right before I'm going on the air, bang, Joe Biden today decided this was the right time to declassify marijuana. And my first thought was, wait a minute. Yeah, I got enough social upheaval going on. You're going to go ahead and just jump on in that fray. Heck, I mean, it's not like you need another polarizing topic, but he's going to take it. So just today, Biden has officially moved to declassify marijuana from a Schedule 1 to a Schedule 3, which just potentially means it's going to be moving towards legalization for at least medicinal, if not recreational purposes, downgrading the ability of law enforcement to stop it. It'll change the dynamic, and then they'll also have, you know, state laws that will have to be amended, and you'll see it. It'll be a flurry if that ever happens. Your thoughts on this? Butters, you first.
So the number one most important thing to remember, I think, is that not a single decision that's going to come out, maybe not ever, but certainly not over the next few months, is going to have anything to do with what they actually, whoever they is, genuinely thinks is beneficial for or is the right thing for. They're going to get votes, and it is, you know, like that's what they're doing. And it's transparent, and hopefully there are some people that are offended that they think, oh, I'll just appease them by letting them go smoke some joints. The silly thing with some of that stuff, and so the actual issue of marijuana, I think there's a lot to unpack and a lot of discussion to be had as we deal with, we've got alcohol, right? Like, what's the impact? There's a lot of really good discussion to have on that. I think the bottom line at this point, I don't really know anybody that wants to use marijuana that's not able to get it. So it may even backfire in that nobody really cares that this happens, but, Yeah, this is definitely the number one thing of this is it's about getting votes.
Yeah, well, and somebody in the text line earlier in the show when I said that I was going to be talking about this later said maybe he just knows that a lot of folks have to be smoking dope to vote for him. So there is that. Your thoughts, Lee, legalization or at least the deregulation of marijuana. What are we thinking?
I mean, on the upside, maybe Democrat voters will be too high to make it to the polls.
There's that. Been a little mellow. Maybe they'll get the munchies. Forget.
Yeah, get the munchies, whatever, they'll forget to vote. In all seriousness, I've dealt with this with a family member. Marijuana addiction is a very real thing. It's highly addictive. I know people say it's not. No, it is. It is. And I've seen it with a family member who also has mental illness. And the combination of marijuana and mental illness is devastating. It is life-altering. It is brain-altering. And it can turn someone who might could be a functioning member in society into a basket case. And I would say, you know, a lot of people say it's not a gateway drug. Well, I seem to be a gateway drug for a lot of people. And I don't want kids to think, well, it's okay to be recreational with it. It doesn't hurt. It's, especially in the Black community right now, it is literally becoming an epidemic. And it's a big problem. And people need to wise up and understand that it's not harmless and that legalizing it, he's just given throwing a bone, you know, okay, I'll legalize this. Okay, I'll write off some of your student loans. It's just sort of like buying votes a little bit, right? But I think overall, it's not going to have that big of an impact.
I don't think it'll have an impact on the vote, to be honest with you. I think it definitely, though, is another piece of the cultural erosion. And I look at it, the levels of THC in marijuana now compared to where marijuana used to be is exponentially higher. And that's why we're seeing things like marijuana psychosis and marijuana addictions and long-term effects of marijuana, heavy marijuana usage. And, you know, I used to work, part of my eclectic resume is I used to work in a alcohol and I mean, actually an adolescent treatment center. It had kids who were addicts and abuse victims and behavior, had all of it. But one of the things I saw over and over again was almost every single addict I worked with started with marijuana. And yet not a single person, not a single one of them took their first toke with the intention of becoming an addict, but they
did. How many of them also used alcohol?
Oh, well, and I'm sure that was probably part of it too. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. But the problem is that alcohol just is a different mindset and it's a different effect on your system. And marijuana is very devious in how it affects people. And people saying weed is harmless, they're wrong. They're just 100% wrong.
And we're not wrong in that we have to take a break. So we'll take a break right now. Butters and Lee, we're just opining on some serious issues right now. City of Fairhope, family-friendly drag event, marijuana, and wow, all that to say, we're taking a break right now. We'll come right back. They'll flip the script, ask me whatever question they want, and I'll just wait with bated breath to find out what it is. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. I mean, like, wow, just making common sense like a superpower. Going right back now with Butters and Lee giving us their commentary on things in the first section, and now here I am waiting with bated breath to find out what questions they will ask of me. So I guess I'll go Lee, you first. What kind of question you got for me?
Okay. I don't know if you saw it, but the Alabama Public Library Services, or APLS, voted today on the new policies that will, for funding, will demand that all libraries in the state develop new policies concerning removing inappropriate sexual material to the adult section of the library and out of the children's section. And if they don't, they risk losing funding. I think Madison County, Huntsville City gets maybe 10% or so of their funding from the state, which is a lot, a giant cut. So if they don't go along with it. So my question to you is, I mean, what do you think? Do you think they go with it or they demand the extra funding from the people of this county?
Wait, so let me make sure I'm clear. So the APL, the Alabama Public Library Service said just today in that meeting they just had that they are changing. Say it again for me because I didn't catch all of it. They're saying that they would sacrifice their funding?
Yes, they would cut funding to library systems that do not remove sexual material from the children's section.
Wow. Using the power of the purse. Well, here's the thing. Any library who says, we'll just do without your state funding, has immediately advertised themselves as the place that wants to put porn in kids' hands. So yeah. It's a double entendre here. They can try to be, you know, they can try to virtue signal and say, well, we shouldn't have to be forced to choose between money and children. I mean, how are they going to get around this? This is really kind of hilarious. This is like you've got them boxed in no matter what they do. If they say they want the money, well, then, okay, great. You got to do the thing. You got to take care of kids. You got to get the porn out of their hands. But if they say they don't want the money, then they have just basically said, I'm sorry, we'd much rather put porn in the kiddie section and have drag queen story hour.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Exactly.
I'm laughing right now. By the way, why does that have to be done? That's just common sense. You know, you look at it and think, have we come so far that you have to actually tell them you will no longer pay for them to do things if they put porn in kids' hands? That's just unreal. But
yeah,
wow.
But the APLS is willing to do what the city of Huntsville isn't, and the city of Huntsville isn't willing to address it directly with the libraries, and that's disappointing.
Well, they get a lot of money from the state. All these libraries
a lot more
do.
From the city. A lot more get, from the city.
Well, and that may be true, but I still say this: if they come back, here's the other thing. In fact, I've got John Wall is going to be on the show tomorrow talking about this. I'm trying to remember to ask him. If they are willing to say, we don't want your state money because we're not going to be tied to your rules, I hope that there will be a list out there of the libraries who have chosen to reject it. That's what I want to know. How are we going to be able to find out? How are we as consumers going to be able to find out?
I'm sure that can be done.
We'll do a perp walk with them. We'll have the walk of shame, the list, you know. Here's your kiddie porn sections. Okay, that's awesome. Well,
if only there were a conservative commentator on the radio that had a website that could be published on.
Dang, bro, you're bringing something to my attention right now. Hey, we're gonna run out of time, Butters. You got a quick question for me?
So nothing super new, but something kind of jumped out at me. Happened to see the letter from the Air Force come out about Pride Month, So there's a lot to discuss in there, but one thing that kind of jumped out at me, installation commanders are empowered to organize and execute appropriate activities to commemorate Pride Month. Now, it's been a minute since I've worn the uniform, but I thought we weren't supposed to participate in political activism. Like, you couldn't wear your uniform down to parades and stuff.
Well, we're not. I mean, you can wear your uniform to parades with command authority, but they have to be sanctioned, and they're usually for, you know, like Memorial Day or, you know, things that honor the military.
But we don't
usually get into polarizing topics like this. That's just classic poor leadership. Absolutely classic poor leadership. Well, I guess we'll find out. But you said the directive just came out?
It's dated 13 May. So call it the...
But Biden is going to do whatever he can do to grab the next prurient interest and make it a vote. That's what he's trying to do. All right, Butters and Lee. Yeah. Love both of you. Have a great week. We'll have you back again soon. That's Butters and Lee. Next, Catherine Robertson, Chief Counsel to the Alabama Attorney General. We're going to switch to crime in America. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.